God is still on the throne. Prayer is another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Today we once again bring you a program based on the script prepared by Dr. Werner Gitt about his fascinating book, If Animals Could Talk. Southwest Radio's administrative consultant, Mimi Davis, will bring us Dr. Gitt's interesting comments. Mimi's been with Southwest Radio since 2001. She helps Brother Hutchings with most of his correspondence to those of you who write to him. We need to tell you as well that Dr. Gitt is a well-known, world-known, actually, scientific expert, and this book that he's written is absolutely fascinating. What we're to have Mimi to read the script that Dr. Gitt has prepared for this particular book. Mimi, you know, there's a chapter in the book that talks about the dragonfly. So would you tell us what Dr. Gitt has to say about if the dragonfly could talk, what it might tell us? And of course, this is a pretty long chapter in itself about that insect, but would you just tell us what Dr. Gitt has written about it?
Yes. Among the 800,000 kinds of insects, we are the only true acrobatic flyers. For hours at a time during warm summer days, we drift back and forth over a pond, hardly moving our wings at all. If we see an edible insect, we seize it instantly with a lightning-fast movement. If an annoying rival arrives on the scene, we spiral into the air and circle him until he flies away. Even in swamps, we are able to fly through the dense vegetation with elegance and style, without ever bumping our sensitive wings against anything. As you already know, we rule the air near water. We move around like silent helicopters. Even though we beat our wings at a frequency of 30 cycles per second, we make no sound that you can hear. Our wings don't just serve for flying, they also play an important role in the competition for mates. We use them for balancing on precarious perches. We even use them to absorb warmth from the sun. And the tongues of aggressive frogs encounter them as sharp defensive weapons. But still, flying is and remains their chief purpose. My legs are for catching instead of walking. We rarely use our thin and remarkably thorny legs for walking, but they are very important when we are flying. Normally, we tuck them in close to our bodies when we are flying to minimize air resistance. But if we see prey, we spread our six legs out in front of us, form an open catcher so that we can fish our snack out of the air. Our in-flight menu consists of Aphermia, mosquitoes, and moths. Since we can only spot our prey at close range, we only have a fraction of a second to complete the flight maneuver and actually catch the target. Our eyesight, our nervous system's ability to react, and our flight technique are stretched to the limit by the high targeting accuracy required to catch our prey. Our flight equipment is a forerunner of your helicopter. We have completely different principles for flying from any other insects. The Creator developed a special kind of equipment for us, and I'd like to tell you about it now. Most insects fly by a so-called teapot principle. Just imagine a pot with a lid that is a little bit too small and two spoons which have been placed under the edges of the lid. If you push the lid down, the spoon rises up. If you lift the lid, the spoons drop. In most insects, this pressure is supplied by muscles that are found in the thorax area, which are connected to the lid and to the bottom of the pot. With every muscle contraction, the body tightens up and this raises the wings. The opposite motion occurs when the muscles are relaxed. In contrast, our turbines operate on a fundamentally different principle. Our strong flying muscles are connected directly to the wing joints by tendons. The Creator made these tendons out of a material called resilin, which has extraordinary mechanical properties. Unlike other material, it is completely elastic and can therefore store a huge amount of energy, which can be released at the necessary moment. Picture a flattened plastic bottle which springs back to its original shape immediately after being squashed. Together, the wings and the resilin form a similar system to that of the bottle and have a particular oscillating frequency. Our Creator designed us with so many intricacies of flight built in that we are well able to take care of ourselves once airborne. We were simply made to fly. Your aeronautical engineers have a way of describing flight characteristics in terms of the so-called Reynolds number. It characterizes the relationship between the viscosity of the surrounding air and the speed and size of a flying object. For large birds, this air coefficient is of little or no importance, but it's a different story for insects. Actually, for small insects, the viscosity of the air is such an important factor that they really tend to swim through what is for them thick air. Insects with a small Reynolds factor must beat their wings much faster than larger insects just to make headway. It turns out that our Creator gave us a very favorable Reynolds coefficient. We can easily reach speeds of 25 miles per hour without constantly having to beat our wings. Even when flying slowly, enough lifting force is generated by the air streaming over our wings to keep us aloft. Our remarkable eyes. Whoever wants to maneuver fast and gracefully has to have user-friendly navigation instruments. And so we have our ball-shaped, knitting needle-sized eyes. Among all the insects, we are the real eye animals because our seeing apparatus composes the majority of our head surface area. The high degree of curvature creates an extremely wide field of vision. Our eyes are composed of up to 30,000 six-sided individual facets. Each of these facets forms a distinct eye with its own tiny lens. This gives each eye an individual angle of vision. All of them together cover a very broad field of vision without any individual eye or the head having to move. Our eyes are much more capable than yours in many ways. We are able to perceive 200 blinks of light per second, while you can only perceive 1/10 of that. If there were television for dragonflies, a film intended for us would have to be transmitted at 10 times the speed of your TV stations. Let me talk about some of the physical principles involved here. In contrast to your eyes, the image arising from up to 30,000 individual eyes is actually quite imperfect and unclear. While each of our eyes contains only 8 vision cells, you have 78 million. So you have an image that is scanned much more finely. This implies that our visual acuity is only a fraction of yours. Nevertheless, we have a wonderful imaging system full of the Creator's technical refinement that substantially increases the quantity of the given visual information. Rapid sequential bursts of light, up to 200 per second, are individually registered as separate events. Our movements are almost exclusively flight movements, whereby we perceive the environment as being in constant motion. In flight, and again, that is our primary activity, the optical center receives substantially more information than when we are at rest.
Mimi, one of the things that I really like about what Dr. Gitt has done in writing this script for his book is you are playing the part, or were playing the part, of the dragonfly there, and I suspect you'll be doing that in some of these other sections as well. You know, in Dr. Gitt's book, he includes a chapter on the what we would call lowly and seemingly unimportant earthworm. Should the earthworm have an inferiority complex?
Have you ever thought about how I burrow? Perhaps you wondered how I manage it. After all, I don't use a shovel like you, nor do I use a digger for that matter either. I just need to use my strong pointed head. It's so finely formed that it can fit into the smallest crevice. I nose my head into the crack, flex the muscles which my Creator so amply supplied me with, and force the earth apart just like a wedge. You may ask yourself how I get by without a skeleton. My constructor had to come up with a pretty good idea. If I want to use my muscles correctly, I need a support, as pressure always produces counterpressure. You've most certainly learned that in physics at some time. So my wise creator fitted me with two pressure pillows that are arranged in each of my many segments. Try and count them around my middle intestine. Scientists have measured that a pressure of 1,560 pascal equals 1.54% atmospherical pressure results when I flex my muscles. That might not sound like much to you, but remember, I'm a worm. Let's change the subject. I'm not sure I want to bore you with any more complicated details. My movement. Now you must know this. Have you ever studied how I got about on the ground? I'm sure you've noticed how I can stretch and shrink my segments. What you probably didn't see is that there are anchors which I throw out on both sides each time I compress a few segments. I push out two short brushes on each side into the surrounding soil. Anchored in this way, I can stretch my frontal segments and thus make good headway. Please don't get me wrong. These brushes are not the remnants of some primeval fur coat. My ancestors were just as smooth as I am, as they too were specially constructed for our way of life. Anyway, what I would do with a fur coat underground. These anchor brushes don't even disturb me, and when I don't need them, they conveniently hide away in pockets of skin. Do you think that all this developed by itself? Well, you don't believe that your wristwatch developed and constructed itself, do you? I'm much more complicated than a watch, don't you think? At least that's my opinion. Can your watch reproduce? The principle of my reproduction is so complex that I don't feel it apt to aggravate you with it. My performance. Scientists have calculated that given 1 hectare of good soil, the worms contained in it produce more than 100 kilograms of humus in a 24-hour period. That's 40 tons a year spread evenly over the soil surface. Of course, I don't work alone. Besides me, about 150,000 other earthworms live in the space of an average football field. In a rich meadow, there could even be a couple of million of us. You'd definitely run into difficulties if you wanted to weigh all of us. We'd weigh about 500 kilograms on the scales. That's about as much meat as you would get if you raised beef cattle on the same field. At any rate, we get a lot of praise from experts for our amazing reconstructing and processing performance. If you give us a little time, say 300 to 400 years, you can be sure that the whole Earth's surface to a depth of 40 centimeters has wandered through our intestines. That's how we complete the job that our Creator gave us. The very fact that we're here, you may think it insignificant, serves to glorify Him.
Wow, I know a lot more about that fish bait that I've used before than I ever knew. This is very interesting, and Dr. Gitt, of course, is very well equipped to talk about these kinds of things. He is a scientist, and he is not an evolutionist by any stretch of the imagination. He is a creationist. And he's written this book that we're talking about, If Animals Could Talk. I'm Jerry Geltner, and Mimi Davis is visiting with us here on this Southwest Radio program. Mimi is providing the comments. She is playing the part of these organisms, these insects, these worms. By the way, she's not a worm, I can assure you of that. But she has been doing an excellent job of doing that for us, and she'll do that again in just a moment. We'll get right back to it. But there's no doubt in my mind that you'll want a copy of this intriguing book, so here's how to get it. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or you can go online. The web address is at swrc.com. The 115-page book is available in appreciation of a $15 contribution in the U.S., $17 in Canada. So contact us right away for your copy of If Animals Could Talk. Now, Mimi, as we continue with the script Dr. Gitt has written, we've talked about the earthworm, but what about the intestinal coli? If it could talk, what would its story be?
If 300 of us were to form a line, then the chain would have a length of 1 millimeter, and if you were looking very closely, you might just spot it. If we lined up like this in 1,000 rows, all next to one another, we would still only take up the space of 1 square millimeter. Actually, my full name is really coliform bacteria. Where did I get a name like coliform? I suppose it's because I spend most of my time in your intestine. Please don't be offended by my home background. You see, together with millions of my kind, I play an important part in your nutrition. In your intestine, I break down all the unusable items in your food so that they can be absorbed by the intestinal walls. I hope you don't mind if I help myself while I'm at it. After all, we do a lot more for you than just that. Provided there are enough of us, we protect you against hostile and sickness-inducing microorganisms. We are only harmful in tissues outside of the intestine, so be a little more careful with me and don't forget your personal hygiene. As you can't see me, I'd like to give you a brief description of myself. Please forgive me if I exaggerate a little. Imagine a large loaf of bread with 6 hefty ropes at one end, which all are at least 2 meters long. If you take a closer look at these ropes, you'll notice that they all leave the loaf at right angles. Now just imagine the whole thing revolving very quickly at up to 100 rotations per minute. That's about twice as fast as the generators that make domestic electricity. The rope, a flagellum, as it's more correctly known, is built up like a round chimney in which the bricks wind in spirals right up to the top. If you imagine the chimney with a cross-section of 1 meter, then based on this scale, it would have to be 1,000 meters high. The bricks correspond to the molecules in the flagellum. Of course, the molecules are interconnected much more elastically than the bricks in a chimney. Now imagine that the chimney itself is rotating at breakneck speed, but in a corkscrew fashion. Remember, in reality, my flagellum is at most 0.02 millimeter long. My Creator certainly built the most wonderful and highly integrated things into me. I can live, move about, feed myself, multiply, and be of service to humanity at the same time. Even the makeup of my harmless-looking cell wall is extremely complex. Besides the various membranes, there's a layer of proteins, a support skeleton, polysaccharide, a lipid layer, and much more. My DNA chain, where my Creator stored the necessary information, is approximately 1,000 times longer than myself. Can you imagine how ingeniously the molecule structure was packaged so that it could fit inside me, not to mention the information density? Did you know that the DNA chain contains as many characters as are in the Bible? I can't go into all of my astonishing details right now, but I just have to tell you more about my 6 rotating electric motors. These are essential to my mobility. Like any electric motor, they have a starter, a rotor, and the necessary housing. The axle sits vertically on the membrane surface and is built into 2 neighboring membranes of the cell wall. The inner membrane forms a non-conducting layer, dielectric, of the capacitor, which is on the outside positively and on the inside negatively charged. A voltage of 0.2 volts is generated. Positively charged particles, hydrogen ions, flow inside and thus drive the motor with electric energy. I'm able to run my motors both forwards and backwards, and with the help of my rotating flagella, I can attain a velocity of 200 microns per second. 0.2 millimeters per second, that's equivalent to swimming on my own body length 65 times a second, not including the flagella. If you'd like to compare this with your own swimming pace, it would be the equivalent of jetting through the water at 250 miles per hour. Some of you think that this ingenious motor came about through mutation and selection, but don't forget, as long as one part remains incomplete, all other developments are useless. A rotation motor that can't rotate has no advantages. There's another thing I'd like to let you in on: my function as a chemical taxi. My Creator gave me the ability to actively locate the area of highest food concentration and to subsequently swim there. I also notice when I'm facing waste material and thus avoid them. That's why I've been fitted with a highly intricate navigation system, which provides my six motors with the necessary control signals. Of course, without a navigation system, my motors would eventually lead me up the creek. A navigation system without a motor is just as useless. What use is it to know where the food is if you can't get to it? My navigation system has a parallel in your life. The greatest goal that the Creator has given you is eternal life. What use would it be to you to know that there is eternal life with God if you had no possibility of getting there? Be assured that just as the Creator has given me the motor system to get to my food, He sent you Jesus Christ as the way to the source of life. If you'll believe in Him as your Lord and God, you will receive eternal life.
Thank you for that, Mimi. Dr. Gitt, at the close of the book that he wrote, If Animals Could Talk, he has a section about, is there any good news for us? Would you please read what he has written about that?
God has a pleasant announcement for mankind. I have a plan for you. I love you. Please don't avoid me anymore. I'm offering you a chance to get to know me personally, and I'd like to give you the gift of eternal life. That's no empty promise. In order for God to make this offer, He had to sacrifice His Son. He had to give Him over to ordinary men who mistreated Him and nailed Him alive to a wooden cross. Jesus Christ was prepared to make the sacrifice because He knew that He was the only one who could save us from eternal condemnation. God is not prepared to tolerate all evils in silence. He doesn't allow everything to happen without a penalty. Guilt will always be penalized. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. At this judgment there will be two sorts of people to be clearly differentiated between. For those who believe in the Lord Jesus, God sees the penalty for sin as already paid. For those who ignore Him, it is still due. The Bible describes what you have to do to be exempted from punishment. Whoever believes in Him, Jesus, will not be disappointed. Everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Romans 10:11-13.
Thank you, Mimi. Everyone will want to get at least one copy of Dr. Gitt's intriguing book, If Animals Could Talk. The 115-page book is offered in appreciation of a $15 contribution in the United States, $17 for Canadian listeners. To get it, phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. In this amazing book, Dr. Gitt, one of the foremost creationists in the world, uses his scientific expertise to show the unique design features of some of God's most captivating creatures. Young and old alike can learn from reading If Animals Could Talk. Be sure to get at least one copy today. Two programs in this series are also available. Get them on CD or tape for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 in Canada. Again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com on the Internet. Coming next over many of these stations is a Bible in the News report. Join us tomorrow at this time for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Bible in the News report. Reporting today is Dr. Larry Spargimino.
On January the 4th, 2011, Salman Taseer, governor of Punjab Province in eastern Pakistan, was gunned down by his own elite security bodyguard. Taseer had been a vocal human rights activist and promised to do his utmost to repeal Pakistan's blasphemy laws. According to a recent report in the Pakistan Christian Post, and I quote it, Mr. Taseer, a senior member of the ruling Pakistan's People Party, the PPP, was shot in a popular shopping district in Islamabad by one of his own security guards, angered by the governor's support of a Christian woman sentenced to death for blasphemy. Mr. Taseer had recently spoken out against the country's blasphemy law, prompting protests by Islamists. During a recent two-hour meeting with Councillor Raza Anjum, the governor told him that he had met with Asiya Bibi, a Pakistani Christian convicted of blasphemy, despite strong opposition to the meeting from religious clerics. The governor stated that he was undeterred by the fact that a fatwa had been issued against him for his activities and highlighted that the founder of Pakistan, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, was also given a fatwa. Close quotes. At the meeting, the governor stated that after his bold action in meeting with Asiya Bibi, many Pakistani citizens and members of religious minorities felt emboldened to openly campaign for religious freedom. The governor had emphasized that the white in the Pakistani flag represents minorities and that they are a key element in the state of Pakistan. Councillor Anjum, who was in Pakistan at the behest of the European Union, said that the governor had repeatedly spoken against religious extremism and said that one needs to be determined and brave in standing up for human rights. The extremists aim to instill fear in the minds of the people. Close quotes. The Pakistan Christian Post reports that the assassination of Salman Taseer once again highlights Pakistan's unending troubles. He was a high-profile leader of the PPP and was governor of the country's largest province, Punjab. His death had left the country in shock at a time when it faces an imminent political crisis. We encourage our listeners to pray for the spread of the gospel of the grace of God in Pakistan and for all the courageous pastors, elders, and deacons, and the many small house churches that are seeking to bring love, joy, and peace to a land of great natural beauty and to its people who desperately need to hear and believe the gospel. Though Taseer paid for temporal religious freedom and liberty in a crowded marketplace, Jesus paid for our eternal freedom and liberty on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That's from John 10 and verse 10. It is through his shed blood that all who believe are forgiven their sins and set free to enjoy this abundant life. Jesus took frail human nature upon himself, quote, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Close quotes. That's from Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15.
That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. To get a complimentary copy, call, write, or visit our website. Phone 1-800-652-1144. The website is at swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.